Thank you, Brother Lindsay. Take your Bibles now. Let's turn, if you would, to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. Probably all of us have played a little game with our children or grandchildren. And I know I have done that and still do it some with Jacob. And my wife might say, "Where's Papaw?" And I'll be hiding. And then I'll stick my head around the corner and she'll say, "There he is." And he'll smile like that, you know. "Where's Papaw?" "There he is." Well, this psalm is a psalm that could be somewhat like that, where we might say, "Where is God?" And the answer is, there he is. God's always there. And so you'll see those two things, I think, in this 13th psalm. Where is God? There he is. And David will see that. Now, David was having a lot of problems. And of course, so many of the psalms are about David. But just keep in mind that he had enemies that were against him. He had health problems, physical problems. He had family problems, all kinds of family problems. And he had financial problems. And he had also had lost his power base to some degree. Some political problems, you might call it. He had a lot of problems. And he was feeling the brunt of those problems. And I would imagine that all of us have gone through some of those times, and perhaps even tonight are going through some of those times in our life. And sometimes we want to ask the question, "God, where are you? Where are you?" And we are just like David. We're in good company. We're kin to him in attitude. As great a man as he was, a man after God's own heart, yet he had some questions about what was going on, but he rapidly got what we should get, and that is the victory. Now look at verse 1. We have the remorseful setting of this psalm. The remorseful setting. He asks the question, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord?" He felt like God had forgotten him. "Where are you, God? How long are you going to forget me?" By the way, God can't forget anything. He's omniscient. Amen? There's no way that he can forget it. And I have an idea David knew that, but he was a human being, and he was crying out to God, and he said, "How long are you going to allow these things to happen to me in my life? How long is this going to go on?" We think about the word long there and a duration of time. You know, when we are having fun, time goes real fast, doesn't it? You remember when you were in school and you came to the summertime, and the summertime just went by like that. And you thought, "Where'd the summertime go?" You know why? Because you were probably having fun. Even if you were working in the cornfield or cotton field, you still were probably having fun compared to being in school. At least you could go off and go swimming or do something like that or have some other fun. But when we're having fun, it seems like time just goes right by. But you know, those winter months can get sort of long, can't they? Seems like they're a little bit tougher. And whenever we're going through some trials and difficulties in life, we have a tendency to feel just like David did. And what we need to do is swallow the pill by faith. You know, a lot of times we say to our children, we've said to them, "Now don't chew it, just swallow it." And if they chew it, they get sick or spit it out. And sometimes I think we try to figure it out and chew it, and God says, "Let's just take it by faith and accept it and go on and trust God for what's really going on. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord?" And then he asks the question, "Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" Why would God do that? Why would God seemingly hide his face from David or you or me? Why does he allow us to go through trials and tribulations? Because God knows we need them. Because there's no way we can ever be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ unless we go through some trials and tribulations. He certainly went through trials and tribulations, didn't he? All the way to the crucifixion on the cross. And so he allows us to have those tests. He wants us to have those tests because they draw us near to him. They purge out sin. They help us become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that was probably happening to David right then as he was crying out. John Bunyan said, "Yea, when I have started, even as it were at nothing else but my shadow, yet God, as being very tender of me, hath not suffered me to be molested, but would with one scripture or other strengthen me against all, insomuch that I have often said," and listen to this, were it lawful, "I could pray for greater trouble for the greater comfort's sake." In other words, I know the more trouble I have, the more comfort I have of God, and that's a blessing to know God in that relationship. So David is crying out to him, calling out to him in that relationship. Now in verse 2, look at the regretful sorrow. That was the remorseful setting, but the regretful sorrow. "How long shall I take counsel in my soul," down in my heart? How long am I to hold this in and hang on to this? "Having sorrow in my heart daily, how long shall mine enemy be exalted over me?" He's saying, "God, how can this bring honor and glory to you? My enemy hates me." By the way, who is our enemy? It's the devil. It's not your mate. It's not somebody else in the church. It's not some other Christian you know. It isn't anything else but the devil himself, who is the great enemy, who hates us and wants to hurt us and destroy us. And so he brings the sorrow in our hearts. He brings the heartaches in our lives. That's the one who attacks. He was the one that God allowed to attack Job. And God allows the devil to do some of those things. He has an eternal purpose in allowing it. But he said, "How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me?" Sometimes we feel like the devil is winning. He's in control. And we wonder, where is God? And why all these things happening? And why the financial reversal? And why the problems? And why the sickness? And why the family situation? And why the job difficulty? All of those different things. But friend, the devil is the one that's always behind them. And he's the one we should look at as the real enemy, not Almighty God. Though God allows them, the devil is the one. And David is just crying out, "God, how can this bring glory to you? If all of this continues to go on and you don't do something, how is it going to bring glory to you?" And that's when, in verse 3, we have the requested supplication. Look at what he cries out about as he sees all of this. In verse 3, what does he do? He begins to pray. And always, listen to me, Christian, always the turning point in every trial is when we get on our knees before Almighty God. That's the turning point. When we go to him in prayer, and he says, "Consider and hear me." God, I want you to listen to me. "Oh Lord, my God." By the way, who would we go to if we didn't have God? Have you ever thought about that? Who in the world would we go to if we didn't have God? Some people go to an unsaved psychiatrist. They don't get the help they need. They go to the alcohol bottle. They go to the tranquilizer bottle and so on and so forth. They go to drugs and all of that kind of stuff. But who do we go to? We go to God. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight that whenever all of the storms begin to gather around your life and you have decisions to make and you have trials and you have difficulties, you can get on your knees and say, Oh God, I know you're there and I'm calling on you, and I know, dear Lord, that you're going to hear me. And so David cried out to him, "Hear me, O Lord, my God." And then he said, "Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." Have you ever felt like it was just so much, and you would say, cry out and say, "Lord, I just don't think I can take any more. If any more comes, I think I'll die." probably all of us might have said that at one time or the other to the husband or wife or somebody. I just don't think I can take any more. If any more comes, I just think I'll die. And that's sort of what David was saying here. But he said, lighten mine eyes. In other words, they're getting heavy and I can't see. And I'm getting discouraged, God. I'm down in the valley of darkness. Would you please open my eyes and lighten my eyes? You know, we always need to go to the Lord to lighten our eyes. Amen. Students of the Bible need to go to the Lord and say, show me what you're telling me in your word. Lighten mine eyes. We need to do that. And those that are seekers for the truth, they need to pray and say, oh God, lighten mine eyes. Show me, reveal yourself to me that I may know the true and living God and the free pardon of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad we can believe that whenever we come to the hour of death, that in the dark valley of death, the Lord Jesus will open our eyes and lighten our eyes as we cross over, as we would often say, as we cross over Jordan. Lighten mine eyes, O God. And he said to him, lest I sleep the sleep of death, Lord, I feel like I'm going to die, but help me. He's crying out to God. Nothing wrong with that. That does not make David unspiritual. As a matter of fact, it probably makes him more spiritual when he's a man that knows, or a woman that would know, to cry out unto God in that time of difficulty and trouble. Now look at the reasonable supplication. He gives some of the reasoning behind his crying out to God. God, don't let me die. God, don't let this thing get me down until I absolutely die. He says, lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. He said, God, if you don't take care of this, the enemy is going to say, well, look what his God did to him. His God's not helping him. Where's his God? Where is his God? He's going through trials. He's going through troubles. She lives for the Lord, but look at the trouble she has. He does everything he can for the glory of God, serves God. But look at all the problems he has. And our enemies laugh at us. You've got some kin folks that laugh at you sometimes. They say, yeah, look at them. They tithe and they go to church every Sunday. They're there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revivals, missions conference, and all of that. But look at the troubles they're having. And they make light of it sometimes. But wait a minute, the story's not over, amen? They're going to do that, and the devil's going to see that they do that. And sometimes it's going to be difficult, but David reasons with God, and that's all right to reason with God, although God already knows all the reasoning. But he allows us that privilege to pour our hearts out to him and say to God, oh God, if I go down, how's that going to bring glory to you? My enemies would just prevail, and the devil would be glad if you don't help me out, and you won't be glorified. You see, it has a whole lot to do with motive, doesn't it? What is our motive? Is it to glorify self or to glorify God? And if it's to glorify God, we're praying right, and Lord, help me out. Why? So that you can be glorified, so that the enemies won't be able to take issue with you. So that's a pretty reasonable supplication. And then look at the rejoicing and singing that comes in verse 5. The remorseful setting starts out with a sigh. The regretful sorrow, the requested supplication, and it's a reasonable thing. Now here comes the song. From sighing, from being down, to the song of victory in verse 5. He says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. Amen. I have trusted in thy mercy. God, I know. And I think we're looking here possibly at the past tense, but I have in the past trusted in thy mercy. And every time I've trusted in your mercy, you've provided the mercy. Amen. And he always will, and he always does. Thank God that's true. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Like a mariner holding on to the mast of a shipwreck just before it goes down and crying out for help and getting that help, we hang on, we have faith, and we exercise it. what good does it do a soldier to have a sword in a battle if he doesn't take the sword out and use the sword? What good does it do us to have faith and to know about faith and to know what the Bible says about faith unless we take it out of the sheath and exercise it once in a while? We've just got to have faith in God. Have faith in God. He will prevail. Have faith in God. We just have to trust the Lord, even though those times are very, very hard and very, very difficult. I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice. I'm going to rejoice. By faith, he's saying, I know that I'm going to rejoice. Now look at the riches and success in verse 6. The riches and success. He's praising the Lord. He's giving God glory. We always have a song and a song in the night. And he says, I will sing unto the Lord. Thank God we can have a song in our heart when everything around us is bad. Amen? We can still have a song in our heart. Faith makes music in time of trial. Faith makes music in the heart. And that's what he's doing. He started out sighing and now he's singing. He started out down and now he's up. He started out defeated and now he's called on God and turned it all over to God. And God is giving him the joy and the peace in his heart. You have a song tonight. I like that old song, God Will Take Care of You. By the way, a number of these songs tonight went right along with the message. They were really good. We have an anchor, amen. We have an anchor that holds the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that God will take care of you. Be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. I believe that tonight. How about you? I believe God will take care of us. Matthew Henry said, none live so easily, so pleasantly as those who live by faith. None live so easily, so pleasantly as those who live by faith. I'm glad we can live by faith. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Has he dealt bountifully with you? Go back. When we're going through trials, we need to go backward in our mind. Go back and just think about all those years and every trial and every test and every trouble and every pain and every disappointment and everything we have ever faced. And here we are. I've been through a couple of trials in my life, just like you. I've been through some pretty heavy trials at times. But you know what? I can tell you tonight that God was there and God brought me through. And that encourages my faith because I'm confident that I serve an almighty, omnipotent, omniscient God who's going to take care of my today and my tomorrow all the way until I get to heaven and I'm with him. And then that'll all be taken care of forever and ever and ever. Amen? Well, as Dr. Barber often says, I feel better about the whole thing. Amen? Here's David, sighing and going through all of these problems. But his complaint is changed into praise. And he had the peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace of God which passes all understanding. You can't explain it. It's just something God gives us as we trust him. You got any problems tonight? You have any challenges? You have anything that maybe you're going through and you're wondering, where's God? Well, let me tell you, there he is. There he is. He's right there. And he's about ready to put his head around the corner and say, here I am. If we just trust him and look to God. God is good. And God is there. We serve a wonderful God. Amen. And so when you're faced with those things, listen. Sometimes I know like fathers do. There have been times in my life I'd test my children. I would get a little cranky with them over something and act like that I was hiding or I wasn't going to really help them out or do something. I just wanted to see what kind of attitude they would have. To test them every once in a while, put them a little bit to the test. You know, God does us that way sometimes. Now, how are we going to react? We're going to complain. And I know we all have heartaches, and David did. But through all of that, are we going to have peace and victory? I believe we can have through the blessings of God. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed. We'll have an invitation in a moment. If you have a prayer need, something you want to pray about, you come to the altar, whatever your need may be tonight. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, that's the greatest need you have. And He'll take your burden. He loves you. And all you got to do is cry out to Him, and He'll open your eyes. He'll lighten your eyes if you'll just come to Him. He'll save your soul. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Thank You for the blessed book. Thank You for David's trials, because we're able to have it shared with us tonight through the perfect Word of God. And we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration, and that there's something in the 13th Psalm that You wanted us to hear tonight, want us to take with us, want us to apply, want us to practice in our lives. Lord, we love You and we thank You that You're there. And thank You that even though sometimes we go through despair and heartache and difficulties to the point of tears and maybe even thinking, Lord, am I going to die? I can't stand it anymore. Yet You're always there. And we know You love us, and You'll give the victory and use it for Your glory. I pray for those that are here tonight with heavy hearts, with burdens. Lord, may You meet those needs as we turn them over to You. May we have faith and exercise that faith. Use it for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.